Welcome back to the Community Christian Church Montgomery podcast. The following message was recorded live on Sunday, December 1st at Community's Montgomery location. This week, we hear from adult ministry pastor Leanna Weber as we kick off our series BC Before Christmas. Community in Montgomery meets on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11 at 131 Montgomery Road in Montgomery, Illinois. For more information about Community, visit us online at communitychristian.org. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on a Sunday soon.
Well, I'd like for you, for just a minute, to close your eyes. Don't worry, the person next to you won't pinch you. Close your eyes for just a minute so that we all can kind of get in the same thought process here. Imagine for a moment that the world around you is in turmoil and chaos. Imagine that there's war going on, not somewhere far away, but right here among us. How does that make you feel? What thoughts come to mind inside? And then imagine that it ends, the war ends, and what feelings come to mind when you would experience maybe the thought that war has ended. Most of us in this room haven't experienced war really close up, but we can imagine how it might feel if it ended. Photography from the end of World War II gives us a glimpse into what the promise of peace looks like. The Daily Mirror even reported that people were so delirious with joy that they hardly knew what to do with themselves. And according to Life magazine, Americans celebrated as if joy had been rationed and saved up for the 3 years, 8 months, 7 days since Sunday, December 7th, 1941. Now, maybe you're wondering, why would I bring any of that up? What does that have to do with today? I think we all hope for peace. But when we look around, whether it's locally, nationally, across the globe, it's really hard to find peace. Many of us, we don't even have to look so far. Fighting might be taking place much closer to home, or maybe it's even in our home. So what do we do with that? How can we have peace in the midst of everything that's going on in and around the world? Well, the good news is that peace is possible, because God offers us a kind of peace that doesn't depend on exterior or outside circumstances. It's a peace that extends far beyond the mere absence of conflict. It's a promise of something so much better. So as Mitchell said, we're kicking off this series before Christmas. The Old Testament of our Bible tells us the story of God before Christmas, before the birth of Jesus, and during an era known as the time of the kings, God sent prophets to his people to bring word, to bring declaration, to bring direction. And these prophets, you probably know many of these names, were Isaiah or Jeremiah, Malachi, and today we're going to talk about Micah. Now, the word prophet might sound a little strange to some of us. For example, maybe for a number of you, this is the kind of image that comes to mind when you hear the word prophet. But I guarantee that's not at all what a prophet is. A prophet was simply a messenger from God that brought a message from God. A prophet's a messenger from God who brought a message from God. Now, you would think that these kings of old would listen to a message from God, but time after time, they would do the opposite of whatever the prophet said to do. And as you can imagine, there were consequences. To start with, after the reign of King Solomon, the nation of Israel was split into two, where the northern kingdom would be conquered by the Assyrians, and years later, the southern kingdom would be conquered by the Babylonians. And in the middle of all this chaos, we find the prophet Micah. Now, to help with the story of Micah, I've asked a friend to share a little bit about him.
It was 1,000 years before Christmas, around 930 BC, Israel split into two kingdoms, led mostly by bad kings. So God sent the prophets to speak words that were true, but nobody listened, and the kingdoms fell through. On Assyrians, on Babylonians, the prophet Micah could see that the world was a mess and the people weren't free. He said to the kings and the people alike, that you must follow God and do what is right. Micah saw that the war would not soon cease, but even with all that, he gave him a promise of peace.
Micah lived in the southern kingdom around 700 BC, and I think it's fair to say that the world at that time was a mess, lots of turmoil, lots of injustice. The people were not following God, and Micah saw the northern kingdom fall, and he knew the southern kingdom was not far behind. And yet, in the middle of all that chaos, God did give Micah a message of hope and a message of peace. So we can read in the book of Micah, in the Old Testament, what God tells him. In chapter 5, verse 1, it starts, "Marshal your troops, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod, but you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." The world's a mess, a war is raging, and yet God says that from this no-name town called Bethlehem, there's going to be a ruler, an epic ruler that comes, one from origins of old. And Micah continues in verse 3, "Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." I want you to imagine hearing those words for the first time, that despite all the chaos raging around, Micah brings this word of hope, hope for a better future, and that there's someone that's going to come, and he will be your peace. Now, the word in Hebrew for peace is the word shalom. Shalom is way more than merely the absence of conflict. In fact, Pastor Matt Woodley describes shalom this way. In the Bible, God's peace, shalom, meant much more than simply the absence of war. Shalom meant not only inner peace or spiritual peace, it meant wholeness and completeness throughout all creation. It meant the end of injustice. It meant the rich would no longer devour the poor. It meant all brokenness would be set right and healed. It meant that people would love one another. For the Jews, the hope of shalom was wrapped up in a person. Someone is coming, they believed, who will open the door to peace. Through the prophet Micah, God is promising his people that one is coming who will bring peace, and this bringer of peace will come from the town of Bethlehem, from the small, undistinguished town, too small to even be listed as a clan of Judah. But who is this coming Savior? Who is this bringer of peace? Well, at Christmas, we celebrate him. We read about him. In fact, we can read about him in several different places. And one of them I'd like to read this morning is Luke 2. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Essentially, as we turn the page from the Old Testament to the New Testament, Jesus is born. He's the fulfillment of the prophecy that Micah gave 700 years prior. The Savior would be born in Bethlehem, the one who would bring peace. And yet the people in Jesus' day, they had a hard time believing that peace was possible because they saw conflict all around them. And Jesus, he came as a mere infant instead of this mighty earthly ruler. But what people forgot is that the peace that God offers through Jesus goes way beyond the absence of conflict or the absence of war. Jesus came to offer us shalom, a kind of peace that passes all understanding. And while that sounds good, what does this peace actually look like? Well, I think there are four directions that the peace of Jesus impacts. And I'd like for you to do these actions with me because I think it'll help us remember. The first direction is up. Just point up with me. I'll call this one positional peace. You don't have to stay this way. This is the peace that Jesus brings us that's between us and God. This positional peace, that we can have peace with God. The Apostle Paul, he describes this when he writes to the church in Rome. Since we have been acquitted and made right through faith, we are able to experience true and lasting peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, the Liberating King. Jesus leads us into a place of radical grace where we are able to celebrate the hope of experiencing God's glory. In other words, because of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, we have been given an opportunity where his grace removes all our wrongdoing. Our slate is wiped clean. And this is a peace that we didn't earn. It's a peace that's offered to us through the grace of Jesus. And grace means getting something that we don't deserve. And I think that sounds pretty great. And honestly, the good news is overwhelming, but in his goodness, Jesus even brings us more. The second direction is in. Point with me, in. In. We're going to call this internal peace. We can have internal peace through Jesus. Despite all the craziness that happens around us, all the chaos, Jesus gives us internal peace. Here's how Jesus' friend, John, one of his closest friends, describes this. He says, Jesus says, my peace is the legacy I leave to you. I don't give gifts like those of this world. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful. Did you catch that? Jesus is linking the kind of peace that he offers to the state and the posture of our heart. He's saying that he's giving us a different kind of peace that doesn't only have eternal implications, but a peace that changes the state of my heart right here and right now. I know many of you were here for the Breakthrough series, and we're still in this season of breakthrough, but as I've talked with many different people, many people are praying for breakthrough, but the breakthrough they're praying for is in their heart. For peace in their heart and in their lives. The third direction of this peace that Jesus impacts is a cross. And I'm going to call this one communal peace. Now, instead of pointing to your neighbor, just like this direction, or assuming that only these folks can have communal peace on this side of the room, I think it's more like this, communal peace. This is the peace that is about us, the church, the body of Christ. We are to look different than all the arguing and the fighting and the name-calling that swirls around the world. And here's how the Apostle Paul explains it. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." Because we're part of the same body, living at peace with one another is paramount. In fact, I think the point that Paul's making here is subtle, but it's really, really important. The word rule that he uses here is actually the same word used to describe an ancient umpire. He's saying when life gets chaotic, when that person stomps on your very last nerve, let this peace that Jesus gives you call the shots in whatever situation life finds you. This idea of letting God's peace actually call the shots in our life can be challenging. I want you to take a look at this unforgettable encounter with this coach, Phil Wellman, and an umpire. Well, besides being hilarious, I think Phil's reaction is actually a pretty good metaphor for how sometimes we feel towards one another. Maybe we don't act it out that way. Maybe it's an internal feeling of just being a bit unhinged. But at the end of the day, the umpire's ruling stands. And so does it for us spiritually. When we're inclined to lash out, to counterpunch, to spiral out of control, Paul invites us to this peace, the peace of Christ, to be the thing that ultimately calls the shots. Before I move on, let me just share a few suggestions that I think are practical for all of us to live in this communal kind of peace with one another. The first one is to deal with conflict early. The writer of Proverbs, he writes, "Picking a fight is like leaking water from a crack in a dam. So walk away from an argument before the outburst." If we're to let the peace of Christ rule in this place, we can't ignore our conflicts or act like they're not there, but we need to bring them out into the open quickly and talk about them together. Paul writes it this way, "Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." I think that's good advice for all of us. Secondly, practice restraint. James, the brother of Jesus, we've heard this verse a few times, says this, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Basically the opposite of Phil Wellman's antics. Sometimes it seems we've lost all restraint in our culture. Something in us gets triggered and then we just react. But if we're going to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, we have to find a better way. And James points us to that way, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And one more last suggestion, prepare for a long journey. This journey isn't quick. Here's how Peter, a follower of Jesus, said these struggles were. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Peter understood that peace isn't something that just magically happens. Rather, it's something that we together pursue. If we're going to let the peace of Christ rule in this place, we have to constantly be willing to seek peace. So Jesus came to give us positional peace, peace between God and us, internal peace, communal peace, and the last one we'll say is missional peace, where you're reaching out. This is the peace that we're now entrusted to give to the world. The purpose of peace that passes understanding can't be hoarded just for ourselves, but it's something that we're meant to be agents of to give. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." That right there is the invitation of Jesus. not to be merely peacekeepers, people that don't rock the boat or ruffle any feathers, but to be active peacemakers in a world that so desperately needs peace. Scholar and theologian N.T. Wright, he puts it this way: people who believe in the resurrection, in God making a whole new world in which everything will be set right at last, are unstoppably motivated to work for that new world in the present. People who believe in the resurrection, that's you and I, should be unstoppably motivated to work for the new world right now, in the present. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be peacemakers, people who carry shalom, completeness, wholeness, the peace of Christ to the world. I thought about how to conclude this message, and I thought about concluding with a peace challenge, a missional peace challenge to you. I love this time of year because we focus on celebrating the birth of Jesus. And one of the ways that we can honor him is to carry out shalom to our communities, to our cities. And I love what we do here at Community. One of the things that I've gotten to be a part of and serve at, and I think many of you as well, is Gift Mart. And if you don't know that much about Gift Mart, I'd like for you to just check out this video and learn a little bit more.
Gift Mart is a community development initiative where every Christmas, we provide the opportunity for parents in low-income neighborhoods to purchase toys at $2 apiece. All the toys are donated. That allows us to use those $2 donations as a whole to provide funding back into their local schools. The most exciting thing about Gift Mart is the family and just seeing the smiles on their faces and seeing them have the opportunity and leaving with dignity because they were able to choose the toy that they know their kids are going to love. A great way to get involved with Gift Mart is to donate toys. We have to buy thousands and thousands of toys to meet the need, and we do that through actual physical toy donations. We also purchase toys when people give us financial donations. Another great way to get involved is volunteering your time. In addition to serving on the Gift Mart Day, we have opportunities leading up to Gift Mart Day where we sort and pack toys, delivery of the toy drive boxes, and going to the businesses that have done toy drives and collecting those toys and bringing them back.
I've helped out for the last 2 or 3 years, and I've gone to both the Gift Mart and the packing. Serving at Gift Mart with my family was fun.
Tons of presents are coming in from all sorts of locations. Everything converges together, and things need to be sorted to head out to the different schools. When we get together to do that, we enjoy the anticipation of being able to see the families when we're actually volunteering at Gift Mart.
Kind of a good opportunity to interact with my children, getting kind of all the food and kind of the hot chocolate set up. And then we would go out and then interact with the people in the community who are waiting in line to enter the Gift Mart.
When people are waiting in line, it's fun to give them hot chocolate and snacks and chips and stuff to keep them warm.
I think it's really nice to be involved in Gift Mart and to give back to the people around you and to the community.
If you've ever participated in Gift Mart, I want to sincerely say thank you, because you've made the difference in thousands of families' lives. And I'd also challenge you to challenge yourself and to do a little bit more than maybe you've done in the past for Gift Mart, so that we can make sure that every year Gift Mart is the best that it can be.
A challenge of missional peace to bring shalom to our communities. Maybe it's being a part of Gift Mart for the first time, to bring a toy, you have bins in the lobby, or to serve, or maybe it's to challenge yourself to another way in which you bring shalom to your community this season. But I would encourage you, as I'm encouraged, how can I make a difference now? How can I bring shalom, completeness, wholeness, the peace of Christ out beyond these walls to the people and the lives around me? All the way back in 700 BC, God spoke through the prophet Micah, and he declared that one was coming from the town of Bethlehem that would bring our peace. I like how Henry Nouwen sums up this idea so eloquently. He says, "The marvelous vision of the peaceable kingdom in which all violence has been overcome and all men, women, and children live in loving unity with nature, calls for its realization in our day-to-day lives. In other words, he's saying it's not about all the grandiose moments, but it's about the everyday actions. He continues, instead of being in an escapist dream, it challenges us to anticipate what it promises. Every time we forgive our neighbor, every time we make a child smile, every time we show compassion to a suffering person, every time we arrange a bouquet of flowers, offer care to tame or wild animals, prevent pollution, create beauty in our homes and gardens, and work for peace and justice among peoples and nations, we are making the vision come true. The peaceable kingdom of God coming to earth through Jesus. At Christmas time, we celebrate the Prince of Peace has come. Regardless of whatever chaos or trouble you find yourself in, remember that Jesus promises his gift of peace to you. It's shalom, wholeness, completeness, fulfillment in every sense of the word. May we be a people who experience his peace this season. Would you pray with me? God, I just thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. I thank you for connecting the dots from prophets of old to Jesus to now for us, that you brought us a gift of peace, true peace that we can grab onto, that we can have live inside us. Thank you for Jesus. God, I pray that you forgive us when we are not people that bring shalom to our worlds, to our homes. But God, I pray that you continue to grow in us a heart that's like yours, a heart that recognizes how we can make a difference and take action, a heart that beats like yours, God. God, I pray in this season that we would just experience you in a new way, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.